Evangelist Vincent, an anointed man of God who has been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God with clarity and to heal the sick and the oppressed.
We're going to have a revelation.
Amen.
What it is to live with a vision.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we've got to go through the Bible to teach us about vision. So John 4, I will read a bit earlier on, and I will pick it up from verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed unto Jesus, saying, Master, eat. But he, Jesus, said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. We're going to see this in a different perspective today. Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him aught to eat? But Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So that was his passion, that was his meat, that was his drive, that was his everything. That's why he said, I have meat you know not of, because the meat of Jesus was to do the will of the Father. That's what all was about. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. But now he says something to them, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now Jesus Christ is saying to them, I want to teach you to look differently. I want you to lift your eyes, and I want you to see that what is yet to come. I want you to see the future. Wow. Don't say, I can't see anything yet. Don't say, there's no harvest. Lift up your eyes and see. That's what Jesus was saying. Hallelujah. And then with those spiritual eyes, with the correct vision, you will see the harvest fields are white already. Hallelujah. Because one that has vision can see his goal. Praise God. One that has vision can see in the spirit that what he is going to accomplish because of his determination. Hallelujah. And his loyalty to the vision. Let's look at some more scriptures. First of all, we go back to the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book, and we see in the wisdom book, in verse 29:18, you don't have to turn everywhere, only where we're going to be reading a couple of verses. But Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So it kickstarts in the Old Testament with the warning from God that if there is no vision, there is perishing. And where there is no vision, the people perish. People need vision. Hallelujah. If those disciples would not have lifted their eyes, and because Jesus was talking about spiritual things, he was talking about kingdom of God things, and the disciples, as you know, were talking about meat, and did anybody bring him any meat? Did anybody feed him yet? But Jesus says, no, I don't have anything on my mind about that kind of meat. My meat is a different meat. I'm not carnally minded, but spiritually minded, praise God. So he is teaching those disciples to lift their eyes from the carnal things onto the heavenly things, unto the kingdom of God things, somebody. When we stay in the Old Testament and we go to a prophet called Habakkuk. Now Habakkuk was a prophet, and a prophet is one that has a vision from God. Praise the Lord, somebody. A prophet can see through the tunnel of time into the future, whatever God wants him to declare. Hallelujah. Habakkuk was one of those prophets, and Habakkuk could see what was going on right now and what was going to be happening in the far future. And Habakkuk, crying out to the Lord in chapter 1, worried about what he is seeing. Habakkuk sees the future, but he also sees the struggle. He sees the burden. The first verse of the book of Habakkuk, of the first chapter of the book of Habakkuk, it starts with the burden. Habakkuk actually means burden of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to have some Bible students in the house. But Habakkuk had a burden. He saw that what God allowed him to see in the now and in the future, and it became a burden on him that he began to cry out to God as a good prophet would. He began to beg God, cry to God, ask God for mercy. Why, God, the famous cry of Habakkuk, why and how long, Lord, how long will we suffer? But in chapter 2, the answer comes from God about what Habakkuk was crying about, the answer of whatever they had to go through. And God is telling Habakkuk, this great prophet that prophesied about the New Testament time and the very end time. In verse chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not just hearing what God is telling him. He is seeing what God is telling him. He is a man with vision. Somebody shout amen ever so often. Because we are going to go somewhere with this. This is going to change your life. Hallelujah. Because too many of us walk around without vision, or we have lost our vision, or the vision was snatched away. Hallelujah. But without a vision, we perish. We got to have a vision. Praise God. Amen. Habakkuk says, I'll watch all day long. Set me upon the tower. I'll watch. I'll see. I'll watch. I'll see. I have vision. Hallelujah. Amen. I will watch to see. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me, Habakkuk said. The Lord answered. He was hearing and watching. He was hearing and seeing. The Lord answered. The Lord always answers. Hallelujah. Habakkuk cried the entire chapter 1. How long, Lord? How long will we suffer? How long this struggle? How long this perishing? How long this death? How long this decay? How long this trouble? How long this ungodliness? How long these abominations? How long, Lord? Habakkuk cried unto God and said, how long, Lord? How long can we suffer to see everybody going to destruction? How long, Lord? But the Lord answered, hallelujah. The Lord answered, and he answered with our topic today, which is a vision, hallelujah. And he answered in a way that is written in verse 2, and said, write the vision. I've given you the vision. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Hallelujah. What God said to Habakkuk, I want you to make the vision public. I want you to write it down that everybody can read it. But when they read it, they will run with it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because it's going to empower some people that are going to read this. Because it's not just anyhow vision. It is God's vision given unto Habakkuk, made public through the tables. And now those that read it will run with it. Hallelujah. Hope comes back. Praise God. Fire comes back in their bones. Habakkuk begins to have people coming in agreement with him. People going to support him in the vision. Hallelujah. And things will begin to shift. Hallelujah. That was the answer that God gave. In other words, Habakkuk, you can't do this all by yourself. But you're the one that listens. You're the one that sees. You're the one that hear and see at the same time. So you are the one who's got the vision. Now I want you to write it down, hallelujah, and make it plain. Somebody shout hallelujah. It was to empower the people, because where there is no vision, God said it himself through Solomon in the book of Wisdom, Proverbs, then there is perishing. Hallelujah. Now there was a vision. Now there was hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're learning something this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to turn to Luke 9:62 and dig deeper into what God is saying. So Luke 9:62. Oh, praise God. Basically, this is another referring to vision. Oh, hallelujah. First, he begins to rebuke all those people that have something else to do. They have something more important to do. They have another priority. Let me first do this. Let me first wash the dishes. Let me first go and bury so-and-so. Let me first go and hear this. Let me first go and hear that. Let me first. So Jesus rebuked them. Because he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. See, when you have a vision, you are driven to the future. It doesn't mean that you'll immediately die and fall from grace if you once look back to something that God has done for you in the past. But it does mean that the emphasis of your vision, the emphasis of where you're going, the emphasis is what you are speaking out of your mouth, is about your future. Hallelujah. Is about that what you have set your eyes upon. Praise God, somebody. That's why Jesus said, when you put your hand to the plow, and when you put your hand to the plow, as I've said before, you have to set a mark in the far distant future. Otherwise, you'll be plowing with curves. But you ought to plow in a straight line. So you have to set yourself a mark, maybe a tree or a little white stone over there, far in the distance. And you aim for that. And if you keep looking back, you keep missing that where you're supposed to be going. Hallelujah. This Bible is awesome. Praise God. It has a revelation in it. Hallelujah. And you don't want to be swerving backwards and forwards because it costs time. It takes you away. And once you're away from the vision, you might struggle to find your mark again. It is easier, hallelujah, to see the straight line where you are heading in Jesus' name. Praise God. God is not here to rebuke you. God is not here to condemn you. God came to save you. Hallelujah. To give you some tools to prosper in soul, body, and spirit. In life, in everything that you're going to do. Praise God. So that you stand apart. Hallelujah. So don't look back. Look ahead. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, of course, is the one with the biggest vision. Praise God. In Luke chapter 4 verse 5, we see the account where Satan is trying to tempt, because where there is vision, there is temptation. Hallelujah. Where you have a vision, somebody also knows as your enemy that you want to go somewhere, and he will try and tempt you out of the course. For a start, he'll make you look back all the time so you start swerving. And then he'll try and tempt you completely somewhere else. He will show you a different vision. Oh, praise God, somebody. The devil can give you a vision, but the vision of Jesus is always bigger. Praise God. Prove it to you from the Word of God, because I was meditating on this vision. And Satan himself came to the Word. To the Lord, to the Alpha and Omega. Satan himself came to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is God, the only God, the risen God. And he gave the Lord a vision. Right here in Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil, that's Satan, taking him up into a high mountain, gave a vision unto him, Jesus Christ, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. A vision by Satan, a grand vision of all the kingdoms now and to come in the world, all the worldly kingdoms, all the worldly empires. That's how he came to tempt Jesus. He was willing to give all that to Jesus as long as he could be worshipped. The devil said unto Jesus, tempting him now, all this power will I give unto thee. See, the devil is deceived because the devil doesn't really have a legal right to go and give something to God. The devil is the one who got kicked out. But he's tempting Jesus, trying to mess with your mind. That's what the devil does. He knows he ain't got no power, so he lies to you that you might believe and you might get deceived. But he does have some kind of control over earthly, worldly kingdoms and can give great riches and fame and honor to those that give in to this kind of temptation at a price. He says, this is delivered unto me. And he means to be saying that he is the prince of the world. So if you will worship me, all is yours. The vision of Jesus was far greater. The vision of the Lord Jesus Christ was bigger than any vision anybody, including Satan, could ever give the Lord. Hallelujah. The vision of Jesus Christ is the biggest vision, is an everlasting vision. Praise God. So Jesus rebuked the devil and teaches again another lesson. Don't look back and don't get tempted. Don't listen to the devil and don't be deceived by any other vision. Another proof is when Jesus is contended. See, when you have a vision, you ought to be steadfast and unmovable in order to achieve the vision. Not looking back, not getting tempted, being steadfast, being unmovable, being determined. That is very important to make the vision come to pass, to make your dreams a reality, to accomplish by faith that what God has enabled you to do. Praise God. When Jesus knew in his vision that he was going to go on the cross to die for our sins and to be risen from the dead the third day, immediately as he pronounces it and makes it public, one of his closest disciples by the name of Peter begins to challenge him, begins to contest with him. No, Lord. No, Lord. You will surely not go to the cross. We read that account in Mark chapter 8. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he turned about and looked, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. Because his eyes was on the cross. The cross was what he aimed for to achieve the greater vision behind the cross. Praise God. Jesus is the greatest teacher on vision. Hallelujah. And he is the one who was tempted the most in his vision, the most important vision that was accomplished. Praise God. Amen. And up unto the cross, they told him, come down from the cross. But Jesus knew, he was determined, he was not going to come down from the cross. Hallelujah. They tempted him. They tried to tap into his pride, tap into his being God. And if you're God, you can come down from the cross. But he was so steadfast and determined and knew that because he was God, he had to be on that cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Vision. Vision is vitally important. Praise God. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, seeing in his vision everything that he was going to go through, he was steadfast. He never gave in. He cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Father, thine will be done. Jesus teaches us that when you have a vision, it reaches beyond even death. It reaches beyond everything. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's how important it is to have a vision, praise God. You've got to be able to lift your eyes and see where you're going. See where you're heading. Stop looking back all the time. There is something greater that you are going to achieve in the future, praise God. There is something more important that you need to do to bless yourself, your household, and your generations to follow. Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. Vision. Vision. Praise God. A man that has a vision is led by the Lord. Hallelujah. A man, the book of wisdom, again, Proverbs 16 verse 9, states that a man's heart, it devises his way. That means it intends, it forms his way. But I'm talking to children of the living God. I'm talking to those that have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. A man's heart, it devises. That means it invents. It makes up, it invents, it creates, and it forms his way. But the Lord directs his steps. Hallelujah. You're the one that has to come up with the vision, and then the Lord will order your steps. Praise God. You got to be a person of vision. You got to be a man or a woman of vision, and you have to begin to step so that the Lord can order your steps. The Lord can order your steps if you're the one with the vision. If you have no vision, you don't know where you're going. God will not direct your steps. Praise God, because where there's no vision, there's no faith. Hallelujah. Amen. It don't need to be a big vision, but you have to have a vision and then increasingly work on that vision as God increases your faith. Praise God. Amen. But you gotta at least have a vision and know where you're going. Praise God. God has touched your heart. God has changed your heart. Now come up with the vision. Make it plain. Praise God. And let God direct your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why are they the steps of a good man? Because that man is stepping. He's doing something, and he's not stepping backwards. He's stepping forwards. He has a place where he is going. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Where there's no vision, there is no future. It's as simple as that. A man without a future, listen, a man or a woman without a future will always turn back to his past. Will always turn back to his past. Amen. Concentrate on the word today. Amen. The word is powerful enough. A man without a future will always turn back to his past. Because he's got nothing to live for, really. He can't really see where he's going. He can't really see where he's heading. So he'll just look back and step back. Oh, familiar ground. Yeah, at least I know where I am, although I'm not going anywhere. Don't be like that, because perishing will be the result of that. You gotta have a future. So that you will go forward. Praise God. Now, what is vision? Because you are somewhere right now. Vision is the bridge. Try and grab this in your spirit. Vision is the bridge between your present and your future. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why you need vision. Well, where do I need it? Why do I need a vision? Because without the vision, there is no pathway to your goal. You won't know where to go. Praise God. Remember the mark. You set the mark. The Bible says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark. American Standard Version and English Standard Version uses goal for mark. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward the goal. Praise God, somebody. If you have set your goal, you can press toward that goal, and your vision now is the pathway to that goal. Hallelujah. You have set yourself a path. You have set yourself a direction. You have set yourself a way. Hallelujah. Vision, what it does to you, vision activates faith. Where there's no vision, there's no need to activate your faith. Hallelujah. People of God are people with vision. People of God are people that know their future, even from everlasting to everlasting. People of God, hallelujah, let the vision activate your faith. Because when you have a vision, and a big vision, you will step out in faith. Hallelujah. Because without faith, you will not be able to accomplish it, praise God. You're going to have to do some things by just simply trusting God. You have set yourself something to achieve. Now you have faith. And people might tell you left, right, and center. People might come on, things might come, and the devil might come to oppress it, to stand in the way, to cause all manner of stumbling blocks, heaviness, and whatsoever attack might come. But because you are steadfastly holding on to that vision, that faith is activated as you keep on walking. Hallelujah. Amen. Be it the shadow of the valley of death, be it the driest of deserts, wherever it is, you just keep on walking because the vision tells you where you are going. Hallelujah. Because you have vision, you don't see the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Because you have vision, you don't see the backside of the desert. Because you have a vision, you can see your goal, your future. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why it's so important to live a life with vision, people of God. I want you all to have a vision, praise God. Know where you're going, hallelujah. Let it be known. What does vision do? It makes it all a lot easier. Because if you have a vision, you have a goal. So now vision arrests failure. Your vision arrests failure. Wherever there is failure, your vision is going to arrest it. It's going to expose it so you can deal with it. Hallelujah. Powerful, praise God. Vision, it motivates action. Praise God, somebody. Vision motivates action. Hallelujah. It causes you to step out in faith. But if Daniel, from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the prophet of the Lord, if he didn't have a vision, his actions in the lion's den would have been different, praise God. A person with a vision that is born of the Spirit of God, wherever that person lands, because of his vision, there is action, there is faith. And there is a stepping out of that situation. Hallelujah. Vision is unbelievably important. So vision motivates action. It causes you to do something. Hallelujah. People without vision perish. People without vision, they wither away. You got to have vision. Praise God. Vision drives mission. It's a driver. Hallelujah. Vision is so much more than just writing down a statement of what you are going to accomplish, what you believe in God for, that you are going to do for His glory and to be a blessing to your household and your generations. But vision drives mission. Hallelujah. You will be on a mission when you have a vision. Praise God. Because the vision now drives. Hallelujah. It drives the mission. Praise God. And a man on a mission or a woman on a mission is a man or a woman you don't mess with, praise God. And when they have the Holy Ghost empowerment upon them, praise God. And when they know the Lord is with them, praise God. When they know, hallelujah, God will never leave them nor forsake them, praise God. Then they know they are going to accomplish the very goal that they have set. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Always have to have a vision. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Almighty God. God has given His vision, and God has told us what He wants. Hallelujah. And God has also made His promises very clear in the Bible. Praise God. But it is time for the people of God, each and every individual child of God, to know what their vision is. Amen. To have a vision and to begin to step, praise God. Amen. To be driven, praise God, for the Lord, hallelujah, and for themselves in the Lord, praise God. Begin to accomplish that what God has enabled you to accomplish. And this is the wisdom key. This is the tool. This is the whole set of instructions that God has already laid plain in His Word for you to be successful, for you to exactly accomplish your very goal. Hallelujah. Amen. People of God are going to be known, praise God, Amen. For achieving their goals. For being steadfast and unmovable. Nothing will take you from your path. Hallelujah. No more looking back all the time. Look forward. Look to the future. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember this one thing, on which note I want to close and bring it to a different topic. Lift up your eyes. The disciples were taught how to have vision. They couldn't see what Jesus said, saw. So Jesus set them down and said, now lift up your eyes and behold. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes. Lift your eyes off the situation. The yes but this, the yes but that is going on, the whatever is around you, the carnal things, the troubling things. Lift your eyes from that now. Be spirit filled and see what God wants you to see. Hallelujah. Amen. This gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I pray you come on board with me and my team to win the lost. Together, fulfilling the Great Commission, winning souls. Keep me and my teams in the harvest fields around the world. Through our outreaches, crusades, conferences, ministry and leadership training, and the planting of block-bought churches, together we are reaching multiplied millions of souls. And that is what it is all about for the Lord Jesus Christ. All sermons, Bible studies are always uploaded on the internet. And standing firm against apostasy, false teachings, boldly exposing it, contending for the faith. So I ask you to come on board. Visit our website, because you can give singular or you can give monthly. No gift is too small. Even £5, dollars or euros a month goes a very long way, and it helps a lot. The Lord bless you for your support.